Let us pray. How great thou art. Lord, you are a great God, and we thank you for gathering us here to confess our sins, to receive absolution, to be instructed through the scriptures, and to receive forgiveness at the table. Holy Spirit, may you awaken our hearts and our minds to your presence as we gather. And Holy Spirit, as I pray each week, I humbly ask that you use my words to declare your truth and beauty and goodness in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you. I'm Pastor Anthony, if I have not met you. I was driving through my neighborhood yesterday, and I thought Pastor Martin had moved into my neighborhood because there is a house that's completely decorated for Christmas already. My son's like, oh, let's go. I'm like, Martin, do you live here? And he said the day after Halloween, but the seasons are changing. Someone was just saying, like, come, Lord Jesus. Like, it's 96 degrees today, please, Lord. Speaking of weather, my wife and I are both from Southern California. Don't hold it against us, but I grew up in a suburb north of LA called Agora Hills. Anyone know that place? Yes, I know you guys do, but it is a magical land. No one really knows where it is, so I say as I put my nose in there, it's over the hill from Malibu, which it is. Like, I grew up in paradise. Like, it was absolutely beautiful. The hills, after a rain, are luscious green. It looks like a tropical paradise. The show MASH, remember that show? It was actually filmed in those hills. You can go for hikes, and there's old set scenes of, like, jeeps and choppers and all of that stuff still there. It's one of the few places I know of where you can go surfing in the morning, drive a couple hours to the desert and ride your dune buggy, and then end the day by coming down fresh powder on a mountain. Like, I remember one day I was standing on the Santa Monica Pier looking inland as I'm in like a hoodie and shorts looking at snow-capped mountains. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. But you often take that for granted. When I went home this summer, I brought my son to go visit my parents, and I brought him to the ocean. He's been there a few times, and he likes the sand. The water still freaks him out a lot. But I was reminded, like, my senior year of high school, students, close your ears, like, I don't think I went to class much. I just would get a doctor's note and go surfing with my buddy Mike Cheflow. And I was a new Christian at the time. He was a Mormon, so, like, we had fun, like, as like two 17-year-olds talking theology, but we both sit on our surfboards many mornings every week and just look at the beautiful ocean and just sit there and pray, thanking God for his beautiful creation. And it's not just the beauty of California, but when I met my wife, her parents had a place in Lake Havasu in the desert, and I came to love the beauty of just the desolate desert. It's just kind of got this magical sense. I was in Phoenix last week, and got to wake up early and just see this different beauty that draws you in. I'm seeing the beauty of creation stir awe in my young son. We went out, we put out lights for Halloween, like green and orange lights, and he goes to bed before it's dark out, but he wakes up when it's still dark out, so we went outside the other morning, he's like, look at the lights, and he goes, oh, Daddy, look at the stars. And we just sit there and wonder, gazing at this beauty that is a gift to us. Now, the lack of beauty can also stir a longing for awe and wonder. Anyone born and raised in Dallas? A couple of you, sorry, Chris, like, but it's pretty ugly. My wife and I were there for 14 years. It's like a complete, do you attest to that? Yes, it is. Like, it's a man-willed city. There's no reason for humans to live. There's no water. There's no crop. It was a place for cows to stop on the way to, like, California, right? And when my wife and I moved to Austin, we live in Kyle, and our first day here, we're driving from Kyle up to IKEA on the north side town up Mopac, and we're like, thank you, Jesus. There's trees and hills. Praise be to God. I don't think my car had ever experienced a hill till we moved here, right? And this idea of creation just draws beauty and wonder up in our hearts. This morning, as we're making our way through this Every Moment Holy prayer book, we're pausing to meditate and think about how God reveals himself to us through creation. The prayer opened with how limitless the creative power of the one who first scattered star fields as a sower flinging bright seeds. And then the author goes on to use words and imagery of that makes us feel small, eternal power, glory, fathomless, limitlessness. That when we stand before creation, it often makes us realize how small and almost insignificant we are. And humans, since the beginning of time, have been trying to respond and communicate the grandness of creation. Our scriptures have imagery of creation all throughout them. Poets, artists, musicians, writers throughout time have been using their gift, their vocation, to try to describe how beauty points us to our Creator. What I love about all art, but especially really good art, is the story behind it, that the art actually reveals something to us about the artist. The anthem that the choir led us this morning, David wrote that with his co-writer, Joe Martin, and he was telling me the story behind it, that they were in Colorado and witnessed this beautiful peak on a mountain ridge and just said, there's nothing left to say, and then they penned that song right there that was inspired by the beauty of creation. And creation is God's just beautiful artwork on display, showing us many of his attributes. We could do a whole sermon series on just creation, how we see his power and his glory. We could even do it on how we see his creativity and his sense of humor. I mean, some of the things he created are pretty funny looking, right? And this leads us to what theologians call general revelation or natural knowledge, that God has put his fingerprints all over creation, that it stirs something up in us. Now that could be a whole nother sermon series, like what God does that reveal, or whose God does that reveal, and we'll get that to a moment, but there's still moments that we've all had where we've stood before a sunrise or a sunset or in the middle of a field in the middle of spring and we felt God saying something to us. This past March, we had the memorial for my mother-in-law, Cheryl, and it was in Southern California. My sister-in-law's neighborhood had this beautiful lawn area. And after we had the service and celebrated what Christ had done for Cheryl, I went back to my in-law's house with my boy and my wife and her sister and her dad sat and just watch God pour this beautiful sunset out for them. That's my wife and her sister and dad after just saying goodbye to their mother and wife. And I like to say you see a sunset like that every day in California. You don't. And it was as if in that moment God was saying to them, I'm with you. I love you. I have not forsaken you. God revealed something about himself to us in that picture. But is that enough? Is creation enough to reveal to us the fullness of God? And for my audience this morning, for us gathered, I don't mean the universe or a power, but I mean the God of the scriptures, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Will creation itself lead us to that? I don't think it does. But actually, the scriptures reveal to us the fullness of God. In our gospel reading, this is what John is doing this morning. Let me read it for us again. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. If you go on to read John, we're seeing he's pointing to who? Sunday school answer, friends. Jesus. But he opens with, in the beginning. If you're a student of Scripture, where does your mind go? back to the beginning of the scriptures in Genesis, where the story opens with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the author goes on to say that God spoke, he breathed everything into existence, stars, moons, sky, heaven, earth, creation, humanity itself. He breathes his word. And John is tying this word, this creative power, this force, not as a what, but rather it's a who. It is Jesus. This leads us to what we call special revelation. The general revelation actually can't fill in all the gaps of who this God is, who created everything. That special revelation, the scriptures actually point us to the fullness of the one behind this creation. Later in John, he writes this, the reason that Christ came so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Then he goes on to say, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Not just life, but eternal life. And eternal life, according to John, is not some place you just go float off to be a disembodied angel floating around playing a harp. But eternal life is knowing Christ, that you and I now are living into eternity, that the kingdom of heaven is here with us now. And all of creation is a signpost pointing us to the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer of all. Just as art shows us about, tells us something about its artist, creation shows us the grandness and the beauty and the power of the Creator. But creation has a dark side, it really does. Like, we're having to teach my little kid about death because a bird just fell asleep on our porch the other night. Guess our windows were much too clean. And we're having to explain what death is to him. Animals eat each other. Little parasites can get into our bodies and kill us like that. I don't know if hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes were post or post-fall or it's a result of, but nonetheless, the destruction they leave behind shows us that something is terribly wrong in this world. Even as humans, as God's image bearers, we are called to care for this creation. And we're not doing a great job of it. That we try to grasp for power and control and ultimately think we are the ones in charge. Actually, we're called to care for creation and one another. As I was thinking, I didn't think about this last service, but in the Psalms, the famous line, be still and know that I am God. And we think, oh, be still and know that I'm God. In context, it's actually the nations, the oceans are raging, trying to overcome their creator. And God says, be still and know that I am God. We rebel against the creator and we all feel the effects of it. And this is why special revelation is so important. Because it actually reveals that the creator of the stars actually took on flesh. The flesh he created, he took it on in the incarnation in the person of Christ. That God, as Paul says in Colossians, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. That the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in a first century rabbi. How did he come into this world? Through birth, Many of my old students in my last congregation, they're all having babies now, and they're all, it looks like they're hiring like professional photographers to like be in the hospital and like have these perfect, just curated images of the baby right after being born, which is good and beautiful. But they aren't showing the chaos of birth. Remember when my son was born, I was like, what just happened? It was like a war zone, a screaming, yelling, blood, lots of stuff everywhere. And this is the mess that the Creator came into. Not some Instagram-worthy post, but through the painful birth to teenage parents in a backwoods town, to parents who had no idea if things were going to be okay. And Jesus, I often wonder, it's fun to think, like, what would, like, did Jesus experience certain things? Like, he got to experience his creation from the eyes of a human. Like, was he ever sitting on the beach with his disciples and everyone's like, wow. And he's just like, you're welcome. But even in the chaos, Jesus experienced the chaos of a broken creation. But on the raging sea, with the word, he spoke peace. Seeing the effects of death on of Lazarus's family, he, with the word, he called Lazarus back from the dead. In the midst of the chaos, the God who took on flesh revealed to us something different about God than what creation shows us. One of the reasons I am a Lutheran in my theology is what we call the theology of the cross. Anyone ever hear that before? If you've ever sat with Martin and I, you probably have, but you don't remember. But what I love about our theology that we believe comes from the scriptures is as we sit in the chaos of creation, as we experience the brokenness of creation, whether it be the death of a loved one, a country that's tearing itself apart, the chaos of hurricanes destroying lives, as I sat with many of you in my office or a cup of coffee, as you mourn the loss of a loved one, of a relationship with a child, the death of a dream, I don't tell you, you know what? Go take a walk on a greenbelt and experience the goodness of God. I don't tell you, go stand outside and just take in the sunset in the evening. It's not bad. Where I point you to, and where I have to point myself to, is to the God who took on flesh and bones, crucified on the very tree he created. That God most clearly reveals himself to his creation, not through a sunrise or sunset, or the stars in the evening, or snow-capped mountains, or freshly cut grass on a spring day. But he reveals himself to us, crucified on a tree. And with the very word that spoke creation into existence, the word made flesh, speaks in that moment of his death, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then with his final breath, he gives up his spirit willingly and says, it is finished. That, my friends, is where God most clearly reveals himself to us. And it's not often what we expect. The stars, the sunset, the sunrise, the smell of the ocean on a cool morning are all gifts, but they're all signposts pointing us to the one who made it all and ultimately revealed himself to us in the flesh. So this week, as you see a beautiful sunset or sunrise, as possibly a cooler breeze comes. My wife and I were headed to Maine for our anniversary on Thursday. I cannot wait for cooler weather and beautiful trees. Come, Lord Jesus. May they all just be signposts to the one who took on flesh to die and to rise for you. And we know that the end of the story is Christ coming back and restoring and making all things new. But till then, we wait and we groan with creation itself. But we also are now called to participate, to use the raw resources of this world, our creativity, that are as image bearers of God, to bring about in partnership with the Spirit, to see where the kingdom is popping up and point it out and say, there's God moving. Let me tell you about this Jesus. So Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning. As we experience you in creation this week, we thank you for the beauty that you reveal to us. But may it all remind us this week that you have most clearly revealed yourself to us through your Son, through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. May that stir the faith we have faithfully received through your work in the waters of baptism, Lord. May that, even the act of water, creation itself, remind us that we are yours and that you love us. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.